Preacher and Prayer by Ann Bounds. Chapter 4. Let us often look at Brainerd in the woods of America, pouring out his very soul before God for the perishing heathen, without whose salvation nothing could make him happy. Prayer, secret, fervent, believing prayer, lies at the root of all personal godliness, a competent knowledge of the language where a missionary lives, a mild, winning temper, a heart given up to God in closest religion. These are the attainments which, more than all knowledge or all other gifts, will fit us to become the instruments of God in the great work of human redemption. Carnage Brotherhood, it's spelled S-E-R-A-M-P-O-R-E. There are two extreme tendencies in the ministries. The one is to shut itself out from intercourse with the people. The monk, the hermit, were illustrations of these. They shut themselves out from men to be more with God. They failed, of course. Our being with God is of use only as we expend its precious benefits on men. This age, neither with preacher nor with people, is much intent on God. Our hankering is not that way. We shut ourselves to our studies. We become students, bookworms, Bible worms, and sermon makers. Note for literature, thought, and sermons. But the people in God, where are they? Out of heart, out of mind. Preachers who are great thinkers, great students, must be the greatest of prayers, or else they will get the greatest of backsliders, heartless professionals, rationalists, less than the least of the preachers in God's estimate. The other tendency is to thoroughly popularize the ministry. He is no longer God's man, but a man of affairs of the people. He prays not, because his mission is to the people. If he can move the people, create an interest, a sensation in favor of religion, an interest in church work, he is satisfied. His personal relation to God is no factor in his work. Prayer has little or no place in his plans. The disaster and ruin of such a ministry cannot be computed on earthly arithmetic. What the preacher is in prayer to God for himself, for his people, so is his power for real good. To men, so is his true faithfulness, his true fidelity to God, to man, for time, for eternity. It is impossible for the preacher to keep his spirit in harmony with the divine nature of his high calling without much power. Let the preacher, by dint of duty and laborious fidelity to the work and routine of the ministry, can keep himself in trim and fitness, is a serious mistake. Even sermon making, incessant and taxing as an art, as a duty, as a work, or as a pleasure, will engross and harden, will estrange the heart by neglected prayer from God. The scientist loses God in nature. The preacher may lose God in his sermon. Prayer freshens the heart of the preacher, keeps it in tune with God and in sympathy with the people, lifts his ministry out of the chilly air of the professional, FRUCTIFIES, routine, and moves every wheel with the faculty and power of a divine unction. Mr. Spurgeon says, quote, "Of course the preacher is above all others distinguished as a man of prayer. He prays as an ordinary Christian, else he were a hypocrite. He prays more than ordinary Christians, else he were disqualified for the office he has undertaken. If you, as ministers, are not very prayerful, you are to be pitied. If you become lax in sacred devotion, not only will you need to be pitied, but your people also. And the day cometh in which you shall be ashamed and confounded. All your libraries and studies are mere emptiness compared with our closets." Our seasons of fasting and prayer at the tabernacle have been high days indeed. Never has heaven's gate stood wider. Never have our hearts been nearer this central glory, unquote. The praying which makes a prayerful ministry is not a little praying, but in, as we put favor to give it a pleasant smack, but the praying must be in the body and form the blood and bones. Prayer is no petty duty, but into a corner. No piecemeal performance made out of the fragments of time which have been snatched from business and other engagements of life. But it means that the best of our time, the heart of our time, and strength must be given. It does not mean the closet absorbed in the study or swallowed up in the activities of ministerial duties, but it means the closet first, the study and activities second, both study and activities freshened and made efficient by the closet. Prayer that affects one's ministry must give tone to one's life. The praying which gives color and bent to character is no pleasant, hurried pastime. It must enter as strongly into the heart and life as Christ's, quote, strong crying in tears, unquote, did. Must draw out the soul into an agony of desire, as Paul's did. Must be an inwrought fire and force, like the, quote, effectual fervent prayer, unquote, of James. Must be of that quality, which, when put into the golden censer and incense before God, works mighty spiritual thrones and revolutions. Prayer is not a little habit pinned on to us while we were tied to our mother's apron strings. Neither is it a little decent quarter of a minute's grace set over an hour's dinner. But it is the most serious work of our most serious years. It engages more time and appetite than our longest dinners or richest feasts. The prayer that makes much of our preaching must be made much of. The character of our praying will determine the character of our preaching. Light praying will make light preaching. Prayer makes preaching strong, gives it unction, and makes it stick. In every ministry weighty for good, prayer has always been a serious business. The preacher must be preeminently a man of prayer. His heart must graduate in the school of prayer. In the school of prayer only can the heart learn to pray. No learning can make up for the failure to pray. No earnestness, no diligence, no study, no gifts will supply its lack. Talking to men for God is a great thing, but talking to God for men is greater still. He will never talk well and with real success to men for God who has not learned well how to talk to God for men. More than this, prayerless words in the pulpit and out of it are deadening words.